good-looking.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Is that on or off? It's on. Hello? I guess it's working. I don't know. Anyway, we left off Hebrews chapter 11, or that's where we need to pick up. I have a lot of notes on this chapter for some reason, but I guess there's a lot that could be said too. 39 verses. So it says in verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report." And he goes on to talk about faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, etc. The word "now," I'm reading what Pink said about it, is kind of like the word "for." Looks back to what was said previously. Well, what was said previously? Look at the last two verses. "Now the just shall live by faith," right? So he's talking about faith in the previous chapter, last two verses. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So here we see some examples of faith. Faith, the just shall live by faith. I mean, we talked about that last Sunday. It's not just a one-time thing, but it's a living by faith. Right? And so this next chapter is all about faith. So he gives us a definition of faith, pretty much. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." And you also notice that in 39 he says, "We're not of them that draw back unto perdition." So, you know, we've been talking about this, written to the Hebrews, and the Hebrews were in danger of perhaps going back into the law and all that. And I think he kind of covers some of that, as we'll see in this chapter a little bit, that these men lived a life of faith. And it wasn't, it was all about faith, really. And so he's going back to, way back in the beginning, it showed that it was faith from the beginning, right? So he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Okay? The word "substance," I looked it up, and it means to be confident in. Okay, so really, the faith is the confidence of things hoped for. In other words, you know, I guess you would say kind of the foundation that it rests upon. You know, I mean, what is faith? I mean, you're trusting that God has said the truth, right? And so, it's trusting in the promise. Faith is not something that you just, well, I think I'll believe this today, and maybe it'll happen or something like that. You know, I think I'll, you know, just work up some faith for this or that or whatever. But it's trusting in something or having confidence in what God has promised, right? And God has said. So I think all these examples of faith rest on what God had told these people, right? Anyway, he says here, faith is a substance or confidence. In fact, it was translated confidence in 2 Corinthians 9:4 and also 11:17. So it's more than I had down here. It's more than an acknowledgement to what God has said, but a firm persuasion in that what He said and will be true. In other words, it becomes a ground of expectation, you might say. You know, and you know, hope and faith are kind of related, right? Similar, or you know, they kind of related. So faith gives substance to the things hoped for, is what I had here. Okay, so faith stands on the promises of God, as I said. You know, if it doesn't stand on the promises of God, it's not really God given faith. It's not the kind of faith. It's not the faith of God's elect, is it? It's just, you know, people talk about having faith in this or faith in that, you know, but our faith rests upon the promises of God, and so that's a sure foundation. All this other stuff, it may not, you know, I have faith that He's going to be able to do that. You know, well, He might not be able to do it, you know. But if we have faith in the promises of God, that's a sure thing, isn't it? It's a solid foundation. Okay. Then it says it's the evidence. The word evidence, it comes from a word to convince by demonstration. It was from a Greek word that was of this same Greek word in John chapter 8, verse 46. It was used by the Lord when he said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin," or "convicted me of sin," or "gives evidence that I have sinned." And so it's the same kind of, that word evidence here is the same meaning. In other words, which of you convinces me of sin or gives evidence of sin? And so here it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Of things not seen, right? And so it's the, you know, the convicting of whatever, or confidence or whatever, of things not seen.
Listen, I think it's important that faith that's spoken of there is not based on our ability to have faith. It's based on Christ giving us
the faith. Right. I think, yeah, every one of these, I think, as we'll see, I think he gave faith to all of them. Yeah, absolutely. I know I had something else here I wanted to bring out. And I had it highlighted. This might be what it is. Faith, I had down here, faith did not bring about these things, but is the evidence that they do exist. True faith never brings about anything that God has not promised. Yeah, that makes sense. If God hadn't promised it, true faith, you know, doesn't rest or bring about anything that God hadn't promised. But it's the evidence of what he has promised. So, and that makes sense. And then in the next verse, he says, "For," and that word "for" looks back to the previous verse again, "by it the elders obtained a good report." Who are the elders, you think? Probably all the ones that went before, and the Old Testament saints, you know, the ones that had faith, you would say, not the ones that apostatized and killed the prophets like Jesus talked about. But anyway, I think it'd be the Old Testament saints. And so he's reminding the Hebrews that their pious fathers that they put so much trust in, right, were justified by faith and not by works. I mean, it's been faith. What was the first one he mentions here? Abel, I think it is. And, look at verse 4. Abel's the first guy he mentioned. Well, you know, he goes way back, doesn't he? So from the very beginning, it's been by faith. And we'll get to him in a minute. So the elders obtained a good report. And notice it says, by their faith, or through their faith, not for their faith. In other words, it wasn't for their faith that they got a good report, but by their faith they had a good report. And really obtained a good report was from one, actually from, I made sure, it was from one Greek word. That word obtained a report, and it was translated, Young's literal had it for, "In this were the elders testified of." And the word meant, I got down here, "were witnessed of." And it's in the passive, by the way. So it wasn't that they worked up a good report. By their faith, they were witnessed of a good report. So in other words, it was a witness.
Continued in the faith.
Yeah, they continued. And so it was a good report that was witnessed of them. But it was still in the passive. That, in other words, it wasn't something they went and got, you know, good report. Their faith, I guess, testified of the, you know, whatever. That makes sense. Anyway, verse 3. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Probably a lot there, huh? So here we see that the origin of the universe, you know, it may present a problem to science and philosophy, but through faith we understand how they were formed, you know. And that's what me and my wife were talking about, philosophy. I think we noticed on the news, my brain just goes out to lunch sometimes. Not the news reporter, the weatherman, one of the weathermen, Steve Caffaro, whatever his name is, on W. They showed him he's got a doctorate degree of philosophy now, you know. And so, what is philosophy? You know, and I was trying to, what is the definition of philosophy? You know, I know what it is, but I couldn't come up with a definition. I Googled it, right? Might as well, if you don't know, Google it. Well, it's the idea, the study of the nature of knowledge and our existence. So it's, you know, science works off of facts and, you know, and experimentations and being able to duplicate. Well, philosophy don't work off that. It's, you know, it's reasoning. Well, you know, I think, so I guess I must be, or something like that. And if I can think, then maybe something that had thought brought this into existence. You know, that kind of thing. You know, that would be philosophy. But really, that's all vanity too, isn't it? It really is. And so, we understand, through faith, we understand certain things, don't we? Now, I think Jesus said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see or understand the glory of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 for a second. Speaking of understanding, right? It says here, through faith, we understand. We understand these things through faith, right? Well, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance as the saints is, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So the eyes of our understanding were enlightened. And when the Lord gave us faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by God. You know, and framed means a lot. But anyway, we believe that. But then turn over to chapter 4 of that same epistle. Verses 17 or 18. It says here, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So here, their minds are, it says the vanity of their minds. You know, I think philosophy might fall under this. Aristotle was a philosopher, wasn't he? He didn't understand Christ or anything about God.
That was enough Epicureans and Stoics that were in Greece and Athens, you know, talking about everything that came up.
Yeah, right. They were all philosophers, I guess.
And what it's saying there is, trust God and don't worry about all these guys got saved.
Yeah, yeah. So he says here, look at the next verse. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. So, you know, they don't, you know, there's the vanity of philosophy, if you ask me. And so anyway, there you go. And so it says here, we understand that. We understand that the worlds were framed, or through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The word frame there has to do with design too, doesn't it? That speaks of more than just, you know, I think I'll throw out some matter out there and just let it see what happens, you know, and maybe it'll come out this way or come out that way, you know. No, he framed, the whole thing is framed, right? The whole universe, he framed it. And I know it's going, you know, motions and all that kind of stuff, it seems random and all that, but he framed it, believe me. He put it, it's all created by him the way he wants it. And it says here, by the Word of God. Now, I don't know if this means a lot, but the word is rhema instead of logos. Now, I think Pink might have made some big deal about that, but I looked up logos and rhema, and really they kind of mean this. I couldn't see that much difference in the definition, but rhema did say the spoken voice by a living person. So I guess what he was trying to show was that God spoken into existence. In other words, he spoke it. Just like when he said, Lazarus, come forth, that was Christ speaking words that had power. This is the Word of God, and I can read it, but it might not have any effect on a hearer out there that just thinks it's all garbage. You see what I'm getting at?
We believe by faith that Jehovah God spoke being. And it was.
Yeah, let there be light.
And by faith, I believe that.
Yeah, amen. So that's exactly right. So anyway, back to Psalms 33:9, you were just reading in the Psalms, says, "For he spake and it was done." Kind of like that, huh? He spoke it and it was done, okay?
And the difference between the word that he gave to us for our edification versus the word that had physical forming at that very moment in time.
Right.
When he spoke those words, it put a form on the face of this earth.
Right.
And he said, "Let there be light," there was light.
Yeah.
This here, it has influence on the life of a Christian.
Right.
These words never go
right.
Charlie stand up, you know.
Yeah,
they,
right.
They don't have that.
No, the Holy Spirit.
His words, "Let there be light," have words.
Holy Spirit has to take that and
right.
do something with it. Yeah, amen. That's why, anyway, well, that's another whole subject. But anyway, another thing too here, I don't have a note on it here, but it says, so the things which are seen, everything that we can see, all the stars, planets, all that stuff out there, galaxies, I mean, they have discovered stuff. I mean, this thing is huge, right? But not all that can be seen, right? So we understand that all those things that we can be seen were not made of things which do appear. That means that whoever made this, well, we know who made it, right? This God who's a spirit made it, but he can't be seen. So he's not in this three-dimensional space we got, you know. He's outside of this universe and outside of time and outside of 3D space, if you will, right? And you know, we can see things in 3D space or whatever, but all this was made by someone that's not confined to that, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Anyway, anybody else any thoughts before we go to verse 4?
Well,
you look like you got a thought in your head.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't believe any of this unless you have faith.
Well, that's true.
People that doesn't have faith, they don't believe this. They, like you say, they go turn to philosophy. They turn to
science.
Their own thoughts. You can't believe any of this.
No, you're right.
Unless you have faith.
Some kind of
faith,
yeah.
That God given.
Yeah. Okay, verse 4. He goes way back here. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Okay? Now, Abel, and of course Adam was the first man, but here's the first man that spoke of about having faith. I mean, I don't think, you know.
See, Adam walked with God. He saw him.
Yeah, yeah.
In the figure of Adam was there with him. He didn't have to.
That's true.
Right.
Good point.
Physical contact, day in, day out.
Yeah, Abel just, yeah. And notice he were offered unto God, okay? We're going to talk about that word offered. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it means like the same word that sacrifice. So he was bringing a sacrifice. So he must have known something about all this too, didn't he? And I think that was probably passed down by Adam, I'm assuming. In fact, it says here, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. It says sacrifice right there, right? Than Cain. So anyway, he's mentioning the first man of which it is recorded, whoever did so about faith. And, you know, of course, they went back to the fathers, the elders, and all that. And he's showing, Paul, is going all the way back to the beginning and showing it was from faith from the very beginning. He's going to cover Abel, Abraham, all of them. They all lived by faith. It wasn't, you know, that they were trusting in their works or the law. It's always been by faith. And he's bringing them back to the very beginning here. And so anyway, it was not by fancy or feeling or even common sense. Nor was it done because it was a popular thing to do in his day, but it was done by faith, right? It was all done by faith. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So he must have known something about what was to be offered. So faith must have some foundation to rest upon, and that foundation is the word of him that cannot lie, is what I have here. Okay? So the word of God must have been revealed to them, and Cain too, obviously. And so it says here, Abel brought his offering to God by faith. It says by faith he did this. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. And so anyway, Cain must have known about a sin offering, but he brought the works of his hands instead. And so you can read about that all in Genesis chapter 16, or chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. I'm not going to go back and read to that. But that was when, of course, when Adam sinned and all that. And we saw that Adam needed a covering. Fig leaves wasn't going to do it. So, you know, there you go. There's human effort. Don't work. God had to cover them. Blood had to be shed. It was an animal that was killed, etc. And we can go into all of that, you know. But anyway, and you've heard it many times before, okay? And so anyway, this should be a warning to us, too, that we should, what, worship God's way. Cain thought he would do something a little different here, right? And, well, why? I mean, what's wrong with bringing, the fruit of the ground and all that? I mean, can that be that wrong? I mean, you know. He probably toiled all day to get that stuff up, you know, and bring it there, you know. But it was evil, as we'll see, okay. So anyway, we can have great works or great effort, but God does not respect great effort, but only faith, really. If it's not done in faith, it is worthless. That which is not of faith is sin, and that what the Bible says, you know. So the nature of Abel's offering, I think in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, it says, mentions the fat. You were talking about the fat the other day. In Leviticus, I think in Leviticus 3:16, it says the fat belongs to the Lord. So here we see some of the nature of his offering. Okay. So he at least, I don't know how much he knew that this offering was pointing to. Perhaps he knew it was pointing to the Messiah. I mean, you know, the promise of the Messiah was given to Eve, right? And so how much he knew about that, I don't know. But I'll tell you what he did know. He at least trusted in God's method of worship. He believed God. You know? I mean, I don't know if all the Old Testament saints knew everything, but they still walked by faith. They believed God. You know? And so at the very least, he trusted what God's method of worship was. And so the nature of Abel's offering was obedience. He obeyed what the Lord had told him. And then he says, I think it says that he brought his firstborn. I think you can read that in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. Or the firstling of his flock, which means firstborn. Okay. But Cain's offering in verse 3 of chapter 4 was the fruit of the ground. Now, what's so bad about that? You think, right? I don't know. Well, look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, I think I got here. Keith, you're not there? You are? I should have got you to read it. 1 John chapter 3, what? What verse I said? 12. It says here, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Notice, it didn't say that in slaying him, his deeds were evil. He says he slew him because his works were evil. If you go read it, he got upset. When the Lord had respect to Abel's offering and did not have respect to his, he got wroth. He got ticked off, you might say. Okay? And then he walked with Abel and he killed him. He was that mad. He was that upset. Okay? And so that's pretty serious. So that says here that doing something your way and not God's way, he calls it evil. He said it was evil. He didn't have respect to it. In fact, he told Cain, why are you wrought? You know, sin lieth at the door. I think if you go look that up, it might mean sin offering. I think you just bring the right sacrifice, everything be fine. I think it was what he was telling him. But he got upset. And he was wrought, okay? And his offering was a bloodless offering. And you've heard all that preached many times in the past, okay? It was the works of his hands. And Jude chapter 11 talks about the way of Cain. And that's what the religious Pharisees do, the way of Cain. In fact, I had a verse down here. Maybe it's a... Oh, yeah. Yeah, let me hold on a second. I mean, I don't want to skip anything. I had down here, all obedience, service, and worship must come through faith. That's true. And so that was what Abel had. And it says here, yet being dead, yet speaketh. Well, what do you think that means?
His witness carried on.
Sir?
Even after he's dead, if the witness of what he had done...
Absolutely. We got it right here, don't we? He still speaks. That's exactly... I couldn't say anything more. Look at Matthew chapter 23 for a second. And we're going to tie... Matthew chapter 23, I think, sort of ties old Cain to these guys too, or these guys to Cain, really. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus spoke this to those Pharisees. What I had down here, 23:29. I'm getting there. Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Now, who are these guys? Well, these are the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders. I mean, these guys knew the law. I mean, you know, the scribes and Pharisees, right? Hypocrites. Hypocrites and actor. We talked about that before. Because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, this is what they say, he says, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them of the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them that killed the prophets. That's pretty serious, huh? Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. Boy, that's real kind, isn't it? How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute from them from city to city. I think he's talking probably about his apostles, probably, I would think. Notice in verse 35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed from upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel. Wow. He's going all the way back to when Cain slew Abel, and he's saying that Cain, you know, you're like Cain, right? Cain was a religious worker for salvation. These guys trusted in their own righteousness for salvation. And so it's the same thing. And Cain got upset and he killed Abel. These guys get upset and they're killing those that are of faith. And they're doing exactly the same thing. That upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of whatever, whom he slew between the temple and the altar, and I have no idea who that is. And nobody else doesn't either, so unless you can figure it out. That I researched, I don't know who it was. Nobody. They'd speculate who it might be. It might even be a... Well, anyway, you ain't going to get sidetracked on that. But anyway, the point is that way back in the beginning, Cain slew Abel, and these Pharisees are no different than Cain. Right. And Cain is no different than them. Same bunch, you know. Religious people. Coming up with all kind of systems and things to do. Look, I was raised... I mean, at Catholic Church, they go to extremes on stuff to do. I mean, You know, they got garbs. I mean, all the work that must go into some of the buildings and all the decorations, the altar, candles, all that stuff, and all the stuff they give you to do, it's all worthless. Yes. Really, it is. Just simple faith.
Another important thing for our application in our lives is to listen to how Christ spoke to them at this point in time, and for us to not, you know, people encourage us, oh, be kind, be kind. Christ wasn't kind to these sinners.
At all,
and,
huh?
And I have folks who I trust are saying, oh, Neil, you can't be so hard on them. They, you know, they're got to be nice to those people. No, they're sinners. And when you can't use your own words, but when you use the Bible's words to talk to people, and they consider that unkind, I'm sorry.
The Bible says, be angry and sin not. I guess, you know, it's hard not to be. I understand where you're coming from. And Paul called, you know, Paul wasn't too kind to a lot of them. And he was one of them at one time. And so, I mean, you got to call it what it is, I guess, you know. Yeah, he wasn't very kind to them, was he? But he knew who they were, too.
Right.
Okay, I think that's enough on that. Verse 5. By faith, gosh, no, time's going. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And notice, he pleased God. But in the next verse, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we see that right there in the next verse. So I think they kind of go together. Okay. Now, let me ask you something. When it says here, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. You think that all of a sudden one day he says, you know what? I think I'll be translated today. You know what? I think I'll just believe I'll be translated today. I'll believe it. Yep. It's going to happen today because I believe it. No, that ain't it at all. So that's not what it means, by faith he was translated. In fact, if you go read it in, I think it's Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. This is the way it reads. It says, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. So he had this testimony that he walked with God. That's what he did. He walked by faith. He walked with God by faith, and God just took him.
I like him. He was 65 years old when he got saved. Or God saved him. 65 years old. And for 300 years,
he walked with God.
He walked with God.
Yeah. And then God took him, huh? And it wasn't when Enoch decided to, you know, I'm ready to go, Lord. The Lord just took him, huh? And that's a picture of the rapture, I think, too. You know, he was translated. The word translated means to go from one place to another. And that's what happened. He didn't see death. And perhaps maybe Enoch's one of those two witnesses. I don't know. You know, I've heard that said because, and who's the other one that didn't die?
Elijah.
Yeah. So perhaps it's those two. I don't know. Just a thought.
Still must die, huh?
Huh?
The Bible says everyone's got to die, so those two still
got to
die.
Those two got to die, I guess so, maybe so. And they do, and then they're resurrected right away. So in the book of Revelation, you can read that. Anyway, so it wasn't that he walked by faith, and God translated him. That's what it means, that by faith Enoch was translated, nothing more. That he should not see death. He didn't experience it. Now, I think that's a picture of something too. His, by faith, he didn't experience death. Now I know that, you know, we all going to experience physical death, but you know what Jesus said? Didn't he say in John chapter 11 verse 26 that if you believe on me, you shall never die?
Never die.
Never die. Think about that. He didn't say, well, you'll die, but then you'll come. He said, you'll never die. I like that. That means when this old physical body dies, I'm not dying. Huh? Amen. No soul sleep? No. Shall never die. I like that.
Absent
he that believeth on me shall never die.
Amen.
That's good. I like it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so he didn't taste death. And you know what? We'll never taste spiritual death.
Correct.
Ever. Never die. So in verse 6, he says, you know, that he pleased God, right? By faith he was translated. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, so he walked by faith. His whole life was a pleasing to God. That means it was all by faith, wasn't it? Absolutely. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God, there you go, cometh to God. People do come to God, don't they? But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You know, is, that means a lot too. I am. He's the I am. He is. Not has been, or he's out there somewhere, but he is. Must believe that he is. And that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
You know what? If you diligently seek God, he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But it says here that without faith it's impossible to please him. So this is all an act of faith, right? It says here, you must believe that he is and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you believe that, then that's faith. That's faith. And you, it says here, come to God. And so this coming to God, I had down here is threefold. I don't know where I got this from. It's initial, continuous, and a final coming. Well, it first takes place at conversion when we're regenerated and born again, right? We have faith. And then it's the Christian's life. He walks by faith. You know, so we come to God continually in that sense. And then there's going to be a coming to God when we die and we're gone on to be with the Lord forever. So I guess you can say that. And anyway, he says he is. Look at verse 7. By faith, we got a little time. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. I like that. Moved with fear. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Okay? So, was Noah saved by works here? I mean, he did a lot of work here, didn't he? But it says he moved with fear by faith, right? He was being warned of things not yet seen. Okay? What it amounts to is he believed what God said was so true. Now think about this. It ain't never rained, right? God told him, I'm going to destroy the world by the flood. He didn't say, yeah, right. You know, or, are you sure? Are you sure about that, Lord? Come on, it ain't never rained. How are you going to do that? Come on. No, that's not what he believed it so sure, he moved with fear. Because if he don't do this, he's going to drown too. He moved with fear. And yet it's 120 years off, and he moved with fear. And doesn't that, you know, he was warned. I probably got it all down here in my notes, but anyway. He was warned about a future destruction, right? 120 years on. He moved with fear. Doesn't the Lord in His Word warn us about a future destruction? I think the old, what's that, Pilgrim's Progress? He's reading in the book about the destruction that's coming. You know, we read in this book about the destruction that's coming, right? And so, the person that's been given faith to trust in Christ, the first thing he knows that judgment's coming. Judgment on my sins, you know. What the songwriter said is, by grace, taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Why did he think that? Because he knew judgment was coming. He knew that thief on the cross, dost thou not fear God, seeing that we justly deserve what we get? And so, he knew about this future destruction, so to us. And you talk to some people about that. You know, I've talked to about the second coming of Christ. Oh, people have been, you know, people I work with, they've been saying that for years. It may happen someday. May happen someday, you know. And you talk about judgment to come, and, well, that's, you believe that. But I don't believe that. Well, that's why. There's no fear of God before their eyes, right? So, Noah was warned of God about this judgment that's coming, and what did he do? He moved with fear. I like it. He moved with fear about that future. And he prepared an ark. And as James said, faith without works is dead. Now, so if he just said, yeah, I believe you, Lord, and just sat there, he ain't really believing you, huh?
Right.
No, he believed it so strong he moved with fear and got to work, right? And so, you know, the person that's, I guess, under conviction of their sins, they move with fear to Christ. They do. Anyway, he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And, of course, here it says here that he judged the world. Of course, he wasn't included in that. Verse 8. I don't know. I probably have some more we could say about that. But he said he moved with fear. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. That's quite a thing of faith, isn't it? He obeyed. Not a legal obedience, but an obedience of faith is what he did. Because God told him to do that. Okay? And aren't we, who are of faith, the children of Abraham? It says we are the children of Abraham. So, you know how much those Jews trusted in Abraham. And he's showing that Abraham operated by faith too. Abel, you know, all of them. Noah, now Abraham. Abraham, when he was called to go out, he obeyed. But it was the obedience of faith is what I'm pointing at, not some kind of legal obedience. Now, why did God call Abraham? Was it because Abraham was some kind of good guy? A righteous man? What was Abraham's state before God called him? Well, look at Isaiah chapter 51 for a second. Isaiah chapter 51. And I had a couple. Also, Joshua 2. Isaiah 51. I had verse 2, but verse 1, I think, really kind of tells us a little bit more, maybe. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye were hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Notice he said, I called him alone. That's personal. I think that's what that word alone, in other words, I didn't call, you know, he didn't say, I called a bunch of you, and Abraham responded, I called him alone. It was a personal call to Abraham to go. And he says here, and if you go back and read, I think it is, you don't have to turn there because we're out of time, really. Maybe it was, I'm trying to remember where it was. Oh, Joshua 24:2. I think it talked about on the other side of the flood that they were worshiping pagan gods. So that's the environment that he came out of. Pagan gods. And so he called him out of that. And so his state wasn't that, you know, well, Abraham, man, he's living a righteous life over there. I think I'll call him out. No, he just called him. He was a sinner that was called by grace, just like everybody, every one of us. Okay, we'll pick up there next time. There's more to be said about that one, so...